The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to episode 49 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom. Representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, and Arrow Headlines editor, Tom Childs. In this week's show, Tom and I are getting revved up for the Chiefs' first preseason game against the Chicago Bears. And as usual, we'll be looking at the strange and funny goings-on with a look at this week's Arrow Headlines. But first...
Gloss on the scoreline for the Gunners.
Fabian Scher. He can hit them.
Looking to the end zone for the win. He caught it.
So we spoke previously on this show about the worst time being a fan in the NFL or a sports fan in general. And I believe that we are now, in this week, now hitting the promised land. We are finally getting to the point where we are getting all the sports that we wanted all at once. And especially over here across the pond as well, because we've got the Premier League started. That was the first game underway. We've had those first games. We're both quite happy because both our teams did pretty darn well in the first game of the season, didn't they?
Bet they did.
And we've also got NFL preseason starting as well on Saturday, Sunday. So I mean, this is brilliant. This is what we've been waiting for since the Super Bowl. Yes, granted, it's preseason NFL, but we'll take it. I mean, I even watched the Hall of Fame game.
Wow.
Wow. I wanted football back.
No, football's not back yet. I'm sorry. It's not. Like, the soccer/football absolutely is back. The Premier League's back. It come back with a bang this weekend. Arsenal opening the season away at Crystal Palace. Everyone wanted Arsenal to lose because it's always funny when Arsenal lose. I purposely put Arsenal on the Friday kick off the first game of the season before. Let's start the season while laughing at Arsenal. But no, Arsenal won. That was good. Then Newcastle United, they come out. Your team, they win their first game. Who'd they beat? Forest.
Yeah, Nottingham Forest. The newcomers, 2-0. Yeah. But it was quite convincing as well. And
there we go.
For Newcastle as well, not actually winning anything since December last time. See,
the big difference here is that obviously we're gonna show emotion about those two games. We're gonna care about the results. I do not care about anything to do with what happens this weekend of football. Like, it doesn't matter what happens in preseason the NFL. I genuinely believe that the preseason the NFL might be the most pointless sporting occasions in the entire year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even more so than like the baseball regular season, which I think is the most pointless thing in the world. In fact,
What is it with baseball? There's so many games. How do you get involved in something like
that? Just don't get the sport, to be honest.
Like, I don't get it either. I mean, I know they try and kind of liken this kind of sport with cricket over here, but yeah, cricket has a few days of like a test match or something, don't they? But baseball's like, you have about 17 games every 3 days or something, isn't it? It's crazy how many games they've got to play in baseball.
Is it like 182 or something, or 160? Stupid
like that, yeah. It's a lot of games.
It's like trying to, be like an international fan keeping up with the NBA, and I love the NBA.
Yeah,
but it's just so hard to keep up with a season which is 82 games long just for the regular season.
Yeah.
So like, as being like a Mavs fan, I just have to come in and out like every few days, just check on how they're doing.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to the business end of the season, then pop in and then go for it within the playoff times. But with the NFL, you get that from week one, but it well and truly starts at week one. Preseason is just like this weird, weird time of the year where everyone gets hyped up for it. But then all of a sudden a preseason game starts and you're like, that's why I wasn't excited about this in the end. Like, that's why I shouldn't have been excited about it, because we all do it. We all do it. Everyone, it will get to, what is it, 12 o'clock and KC time, the game's kicking off on Saturday. We get there and it'll be like, right, the Chiefs football's back. Let's get to watch this. Can't wait. And then about 4 minutes past 12, 4 minutes past six over here, there'll just be a collective, like, from Chiefs Kingdom, thinking actually we do still have to wait till September the 11th for real football to come back.
Yeah, but I'm pretty much at that point now where I've got excited over Chiefs camp, and I'm really looking forward to seeing those kind of players that we've seen that really excelling in Chiefs camp, kind of lighting it up and getting their opportunity in a preseason game. Yeah, okay, it doesn't matter.
Well, then you're not going to see those type of plays because they've been on the internet for the last 2 weeks. So of course they're not going to run those plays. Our opposing NFL scouts are like looking at these plays all on the internet and going, well, we see that formation. We know Sky Moore's coming out of the back. We'll see a jet sweep. Like Andy Reid's basically having to show off two types of playbooks at the moment. He's got his show book, which has been played out of training camp.
Yeah.
And then his behind closed doors playbook. I don't think, like, come on. Like, it's not exactly secret, the NFL at the moment, is it? What the Chiefs are trying to run, because it's all over the internet.
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, but like you said, Andy Reid's smart. He's a smart guy. He'll throw something out there that's like, oh, they'll lap this up. All defensive coordinators will pick this up and they'll be scheming for it, and then they just won't use it during the season.
I hope so. I really hope it's all a decoy now.
The thing I'm really looking forward to seeing actually this time, and I've never really looked at this since we had the likes of Jamal Charles, but the running back room that we've got at the moment, I think we're going to use these preseason games quite a bit more just to throw in the running backs and just see what they can do on this, and not like open the playbook as much as like you were, you know, as you were saying. So, you know, watching somebody like Isaiah Pacheco, who's been really lighting it up, but also seeing how Ronald Jones happens and how he's, you know, adapting to this new offense.
Yeah.
But also Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, we probably won't see much because obviously he's probably pretty much locked in as the RB1, isn't he? But I think the Chiefs are just going to be just running it, and just seeing what these RBs can do.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point where you've got four quarters and you've got four or five running backs going for three spots.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to give them all a decent run. And obviously, the big one at the moment is Isaiah Pacheco. Everyone's talking about Isaiah Pacheco. He is the Fred Williams of this camp. He really is. Like, he is the guy that everyone's hyping up. And like, you need to remember that he actually has like three players ahead of him in the depth chart before he even gets there. Like, no one's talking about Jerick McKinnon. Like, no one is talking about Jerick McKinnon.
Which is odd, because he's been playing really well, especially towards the end of last year.
Yeah, he was like, okay, might have been through luck that he was the RB1 for his part, but he was the playoff running back for us. Yeah. He was the guy, and he performed very well towards the back end of the season. Yet here we are, Chiefs camp, or 8 months later, and no one's talking about Jerick McKinnon. Everyone's talking about Clyde, Isaiah Pacheco, and then there's kind of conversations about, will Ronald Jones actually make the final 53? Like, that's the big one I'm seeing at the moment. Like, is he doing enough? There's reports out there that he's doing very well in pass protection, but in terms of the other stuff that they're asking him to do, he's been like not as great as the other guys. But there are stories like this all over Chiefs camp. Like, you only have to look at the offensive line going into the season. Like, we all know who the four offensive line are, from left tackle through to right guard. But we're looking at his right tackle position. It's like, well, who's going to be the guy to start? Is it going to be Andrew Wiley? Is it going to be Kennard? Is it going to be Christensen? This guy, Christian?
Oh, yeah. He's plucked out of nowhere, hasn't he? Yeah.
Like, I don't even know his full name, because, like, it's like I hadn't even heard of this guy 2 weeks ago. But apparently he's the one that's getting all the runs out with the ones, him and Wiley. So that's something certainly to watch in preseason. But in terms of, like, Mahomes, Kelsey, all those type of guys, what they do, Juju, Sky Moore, like, you're going to see so few genuine plays out of the Andy Reid system this Saturday that we're really not going to be able to get a feel as to what they're going to be doing this season.
Yeah. I mean, is it worth them suiting up? I mean, for this first preseason?
Do you think they will?
I don't know if they will. I mean, is it worth suiting up just for one play?
I think they will, because Andy Reid's a bit of a traditionalist. Yeah. And he likes the way he does things. He likes to stick to the same things every year. And every year he does tend to play his starters for one drive, maybe two drives in the first game, then a little bit longer in the second game, and then well into the third quarter for the third preseason game before obviously sitting everyone for the fourth one. Now, obviously, this year they don't have the fourth one, I don't believe. I think it is just three preseason games this season. So they haven't got that fourth game to then play all the guys from the back end of the roster to try and fight out for their jobs. So maybe that might accelerate a little bit, and you might see maybe a few more drives in game week one, and then, like, well into the second half or late into the second quarter for game week two, and then Mahomes sits for the third game. But I do fully expect them all to play, but I just expect it to be like the vanilla version of the Chiefs offense.
Andy Reid's vanilla offense.
Yeah.
Uninspiring, but just necessary.
Basically what the Bears offense is going to be this entire season. Oh,
God. In fact, I'm going to have a look at the Bears roster, right? I'm going to see who I recognize and who I think is going to be. Who? My God. I think their first week one game is actually going to be full of preseason starters, let's say that. So, geez, none of that in there really kind of inspires anyone, I don't think. The Bears are going through a bit of a time as well at the moment, because they've had some rumblings, haven't they, of a trade request. And they've had injuries on the wide receiving core, which has kind of decimated an already kind of what I would say is a poor core anyway.
Yeah, probably the worst in the entire NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you've got N'Keal Harry, he's injured. Somebody called Velus Jones Jr., he's injured. Byron Pringle. Hey, Byron Pringle.
Old friend alert.
You remember, he's injured. He's injured. So, it's going to be quite fun watching the Chiefs versus the Bears. Looking at that roster, man, I don't know if you've got the roster in front of you there, but, I mean, quarterback wise as well. I mean, Justin Fields. Now, I quite like Justin Fields. I don't mind him. I quite like him. I don't think he's going to be lighting the league up, but the backups he's got, Nathan Peterman and Trevor Siemian.
Oh, wow. So if the Chiefs defensive line do play any like genuine snaps this week, there's an opportunity for them to at least gain confidence. Like, are we expecting Carlos Dunlap and Carl Aftis to get their first sacks for the Chiefs this weekend? Like, surely we must be. Like, well, Nathan Peterman eats sacks for days, doesn't
he? It was definitely interceptions as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, just play all the first team defense against Nathan Peterman. Whenever he's out there, he could be out there for the fourth quarter. Just stick out the first team defense. Yeah. Let them just have a great time. Build up some confidence, build some momentum going into the season. Let them just go out there and just absolutely destroy Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
That would be worth watching.
I mean, it's funny, the Bears, they've been in, but I want to say free fall for some time, but is that fair to say with the Bears? Because at some point they were kind of getting, they were getting the roster kind of sorted at one point, weren't they? And then, I don't know, looking at that now, I'm thinking, what the hell happened?
That doink game, like, that must be like the most damaging playoff defeat I can remember for any team. Like, they were genuinely good there. That defense was an all-world defense. They had obviously Khalil Mack killing it. And then they managed to find a way to win with Trubisky, and then obviously the kicks happen. Then they lose that playoff game. And then since then, it's just been all downhill. The way they built the roster has been horrendous. They've had to replace their GM. They've got, is it Ryan Poles, the former staff member from the Chiefs? He's now their new GM.
Yeah.
They've got Justin Fields. They feel like they've got their quarterback, but just around it, there is just nothing. And like today, like, well, yesterday, rather, Roquan Smith puts in a trade request. Like they're like their all world, all star type linebacker. And he's just like, yeah, nah, I don't want to be here anymore. Like,
you think he's just got a roster as well?
I'm just done. He sends out his own note just saying, yeah, I'm done with Chicago. Like, yeah, come get me, Houston.
He came into training camp and he's doing the same as I was doing. He's going, who?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Am I on the reserve squad? What's going on?
I'll tell you what, the Bears would have made a cracking Hard Knocks this year. It really would have.
But God, yeah.
Obviously, that's the rules with new NFL head coaches. They don't tend to put Hard Knocks into those teams because they want the guys to settle. Like, they don't want straight away this media circus coming from the Hard Knock. And Matt Eberflus is his first ever season as a head coach, and you don't really want him to walk in, deal with that rubbish of a roster, and then as well as the Hard Knocks cameras. Like, that would have been far too much for him to handle, even though it would have been very, very entertaining.
Are you looking forward to Hard Knocks this year?
I am. I haven't watched it in a couple of years, to be honest. Like,
no.
I think the last one I watched was the Antonio Brown series. I can't remember what team it was, but it was Hard Knocks with Antonio Brown.
Wow. Yeah, it was just Antonio Brown news every single episode in that
one.
He's upset about the helmet issue.
But no, I recently started watching All or Nothing, like the Amazon documentary, which is done in a similar sort of style, but it's been following Arsenal. And a couple of episodes into that, it was from Arsenal last year. And it is good to see, like, obviously, these players up close and personal, seeing what goes on behind closed doors. And, like, and I suppose we should be thankful and accept that we are privileged to get that kind of access. So, yeah, the Lions, I quite like Dan Campbell, their coach. He seems like a player that everyone wants to play for. He just seems like a proper player's coach. So I'm quite interested to see how he gets on and how the players react to him, because he's just wears his heart on his sleeve type of guy. And I think that will resonate quite well on Hard Knocks.
Did you see the huddle speech? Did you see that? It was a bit of a snippet of it, wasn't it? And my God, I thought he was going to burst into tears.
Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Last year wasn't it.
It was really heartfelt, and you could tell it was, the record. The record mattered to not just him, but I think for quite a few of the team that were still there from last year.
Yeah.
And the record definitely mattered, and you could tell his voice was breaking. Oh no! Oh no!
I don't think he's coming back.
Bottom lip going as he's trying to talk. Starts breathing midway through, trying to stop himself from crying. Well, I don't think he did stop himself from crying. I'm just having a look. Do you remember the last time the Chiefs played the Bears in preseason? But all the way back in 2018, it was the year that Mahomes won the MVP. Wow. And so this Alex Smith is gone. We're playing the Bears preseason. Can you guess how many of those Chiefs that played that day are still on the roster now, 4 years later?
Three.
Very close. It's four.
Four?
Four players.
Who's the fourth?
Yeah, well, who's the third and the fourth? You can name two of them for sure.
Well, yeah, you've got Mahomes and Kelsey for sure.
Yeah, and who's the other two?
Oh.
Both of them will be playing this weekend. I've already mentioned one of them. Wiley, good boy. Well done, good boy.
Well done. Good boy,
Bradley.
Is it?
Good boy, Bradley.
It's a Scooby snack.
Do it for a Scooby snack.
Good boy. Can you get the other? Come, buddy. Can you get the
other? Oh, God. So, I can't think. It can't have been Frank Clark, can it? No, because he was. No. That was 2019, wasn't it?
This is great podcast content.
Isn't it? Yeah. Just kind of fill dead air. God. I'm going through all the position groups. I'm going through all the position groups in a minute.
I'm thinking of every meme that's ever come out. No. I don't think you played that thing.
I can't think. Who is it? Come on, who is it?
Derek Nardi.
Derek Nardi, of course. I forget. I keep forgetting he's still on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, Rashard Fenton was still on the team as well, but I don't think he played that day either.
No. No.
Fenton.
Mm. Oh, well. Well, yeah, great coach. I'm great podcast content.
Great podcast content in the space of the last one. Like, for all I know, you're going to edit this down and that whole segment's going to last 25 seconds. But I am safe in the knowledge knowing that that particular segment actually lasted more like 6 minutes.
And be honest, it was like half an hour that way, me racking my brain going through every position group in the Chiefs thing.
Cornerbacks,
DBs, defensive line, who the hell? No, things like that, though. I mean, it makes you think, doesn't it, how far this team has come?
Roster turnover in general.
Massively,
But, and I think that's a big difference between...
We're still maintaining that level of consistency as well, which, you know, I mean, credit to the organisation.
Yeah, and I think it goes a lot to towards why people shouldn't probably doubt this team, because if you've got the big position sorted and the big man sorted at coaching position, then you're kind of okay. We're not going to go into this again because we talk about it basically every week, but the fact that Andy Reid and Mahomes are there means constant success.
That's the glue, isn't it? I think Kelce, Mahomes, Andy Reid, and even Brett Veach and you know, Clark Hunt as well. I think they're part. Yep. We can throw them in there as part of the glue because they're all very much driven in the same way. And it's right. It's been pretty much the backbone right the way through, isn't it? That that the Chiefs have got, and they keep that level of standard. I mean, they even said it at the beginning of. Did you watch the franchise? The first. Well, Clark Hunt, he did another inspirational speech at the beginning, and he's basically saying the same thing I was saying there. You know, they've created this level of standard now that, you know, anything less than the AFC Championship now, it's a defeated season. It likes to try and keep that energy high and keep that level of consistency high as well. And you know, it's right, I think, for somebody like the owner and obviously Brett Veach to keep that consistency going and keep this team rolling. And you know,
I love that type of stuff, but I just find it funny because I just know that there's 31 other owners and GMs saying
all doing the same thing. Yeah. The Lions are saying that.
Yeah, there's loads of people crying in the huddle. So many players crying in the huddle, but only one of them is. You only ever hear about the ones that turn it round. Like I want to see some like huddles and stuff, some content where it doesn't inspire greatness, like where one person just come out and all they've managed to do is just hype themselves out. Like Jameis Winston eat a W. Like, we need more stuff like that. That's what we need.
You know, that's probably one of my most favorite huddle speeches ever.
Yeah
But no, everybody was looking at him going, what are you on about? What are you doing? This guy's chewing his own fingers.
I love Jameis Winston. He's one of my favorite players. He's just like a buffoon, but he's the best. He really is.
He's great entertainment, isn't he?
Even the way he plays is terrifically entertaining. One week he could be an all-world quarterback. Next week he could be Nathan Peterman. Like, he is just the best.
Interceptions left, right, and
I love him. I love him. Never change Jameis Winston. Never change.
That's a W. That's E1. That's
E1.
That's a W. How many people
want to
eat a W tonight? How many eat a W tonight?
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. I think we'll take a quick break.
No. Come on. This is a preview show. It is a preview show, whether we like it or not. The Chiefs are playing a football game this weekend. So we need to do a prediction.
You're making me.
Before we move on to the second part of the show, which we're not going to talk about the Bears game, this is it for the Bears game. We need a prediction. Come on.
Well, looking at that roster. Chiefs 48, Bears 3.
What about you? Tell you what, have you ever even come close to getting a prediction right for any of the game?
I'm useless at predictions.
This will be our time. Pre-season football, this is it. Right, you ready?
Yeah, go on.
The final score will be from Soldier Field this Saturday, the Kansas City Chiefs 17.
Right.
The Chicago Bears 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, why? Because you think...
Don't ask me why.
I need an answer, Tom. Why do you think that?
That's just because it was the first numbers that popped into my head. And 2017 is kind of like a safe score.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we are.
Okay. On that note, I think we definitely need to take a break after that. When we come back, we'll be doing our usual review of the Arrow headlines.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom, and welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with Brad and Tom. Now, before we actually move on to the hour headlines, I just wanted to pull something up on Tom from the first half of the show, because that little segment where he was testing me on the Bears game, you know, the preseason game against the Chiefs in 2018, and asking, there was only four players on that team that are actually playing on the Chiefs today. It turns out, Tom, there was actually a few more players, wasn't there?
Yeah. Hashtag fake news. Wow, I'm going to lose my blue tick. It turns out, yeah, there was eight players playing that day.
Which double what you said.
Yeah. Somehow I missed Harrison Butker, James Winchester, Dorian O'Daniel, and Chris Jones, who all played that day as well.
Well, you know, nobody's perfect, Tom. I mean, I know. This way, right? Out of eight, I still couldn't get four.
Yeah, exactly. I just hope that no one stopped the show halfway through and then just went to their buddy in the bar and went, do you know, the last time the Chiefs played the Bears, they only had four players. This roster turnover has been ridiculous over the last 4 years. To only keep four players in 2018, when turns out it was double that. So, yeah, there's me saying about roster turnover. It turns out the Chiefs actually kept close to 20% of the roster intact.
Wow, I mean wow, Tom, that's brilliant. That
I know. I think Aaron Rodgers is safe in jeopardy. I'm not going to go for his job anytime soon.
Oh right, well, I won't rub it anymore. Mate. We'll move on, I think, from that. But I just hope the person who listened to that first half has also listened to the second half.
Yeah.
Oh right, Arrow headlines. We do these every week now because they're quite a bit of a constant on this, because we do have the editor of the Arrow headlines. So why not talk about them as well? So we'll put our own spin on them as we usually do. But I wanted to start off with the first Arrow headline this week of the Chiefs offensive line has been ranked as the league's best by ESPN. Now, I thought this was a great segment to shoehorn in the Great Barrier Chiefs hashtag again. Because apparently their predicted pass block rank, they are number one, and predicted run block rank, number five. Now, we knew this offensive line was going to be good. But I don't think we realized how good they were going to be when we got the likes of Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, but they've been really kind of like lights out brilliant, haven't they? Yes. Which has really helped this. I think this is what them two alone have really kind of elevated this offensive line a lot. And when you've got somebody who has the experience of Joe Tooney, and you've got the promising prospect of Orlando Brown Jr. he looks very lean now as well. Mm-hmm. He looks as though he's really put some work in over the off season. Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly with ESPN on that, because, like I said, we've been crowing about this offensive line that they've managed to just piece together in like a season.
It wasn't even a season. It was literally 4 months.
It was
4 months from the Super Bowl embarrassment to the end of the draft and the trade being made for Orlando Brown and then picking Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. And it's phenomenal because we're ranked number one based on four positions. We're not ranked number one based on five.
Yeah.
We're ranked because the fifth is, as we mentioned earlier, is still an unknown. We couldn't have imagined Brett Veach having this much success with rebuilding this offensive line as quickly as he did. No. Like Joe Tooney, yes. Orlando Brown, yes. But for Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith to come out of the draft and just be as good as they were from day one, let's be clear, from day one,
yeah,
has just put the Chiefs in such a good position with this particular set of players going forward. Like we always talk about how important the offensive line is. Like games are literally won in the trenches between the defensive line and the offensive line. Whoever has the upper hand normally wins the game. And the offensive line allows you to put not so talented players behind it and still perform well. Well, the Chiefs are in a position where they have the most talented man in the world behind this most talented offensive line in the world. And now that everything the Chiefs do in regards to building the roster going forward has to be within mind the fact that they're going to have to pay a lot of guys up front, a lot of money. If Orlando Brown has the season that he wants and gets the contract that he wants, big money there. You've probably only got another, what, 2 seasons left before you're going to have to pay Creed Humphrey before he goes into the last year of his rookie deal. You're going to want a contract with him done by the time he goes into his fourth year, and probably the same with Trey Smith. Now, guards are replaceable. Everyone knows guards are replaceable. Even the year that once Chiefs won the Super Bowl, they were just rotating guards. It seemed like there was never actually a constant of guard or even the whole interior offensive line the year they won the Super Bowl. But the offensive line wasn't a position of strength back then. It was good. Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz were very good tackles for us. But as a unit, the offensive line wasn't like, wow, look at this Chiefs offensive line. It's a top five unit. No one thought of it that way. Where now you look at this offensive line, you think, oh, well, this is a top three. This is a top one unit according to ESPN. So you're going to have to pay these guys accordingly. And I just hope that Brett Veach, and I'm sure he does, he's a far cleverer man than you or I, and he has this plan in place where he will be willing to release funds to fund this offensive line to give Patrick Mahomes this platform. There's a reason why I said Peyton Manning there. Do you know why I said Peyton Manning? It's because it's what the Colts done for him.
Ah, right.
That's why. Because that was going to be my next point. And that's why I said Peyton Manning there. The Colts done it for him.
Yeah.
Throughout his entire career. They made sure that in front of him, he was very well protected. And that enabled him to dissect defenses from there. And as Mahomes becomes a smarter, more capable quarterback, he's going to be laughing with an offensive line that affords him 3-4 seconds of play. So, yeah, ESPN absolutely nailed it with what they said about this particular unit and how they project them to be the best in the league. And, yeah, kudos has to be given to Brett Veach and Andy Heck as well and Andy Reid for putting them in this position.
The interesting thing for me on this one is the predicted run block rank, because we've not really seen the Chiefs be that much like reliant on kind of the run players a lot of the run blocks and stuff.
No.
So to have them rank number five seems a little bit it's obviously a projected thing, you know, there, because clearly they understand that there is an excellent offensive line there. But also when you've got somebody like Orlando Brown, we've mentioned him before, where he was so used to a more of a running game setup. Now he might be one of those keys now in this, because if the Chiefs are going to be looking at running the ball a little bit more than they have been, which we've mentioned before, again, they have to look at that at some point to kind of balance out a game, don't they? So yeah. I think that's valid, and not putting number one on that is pretty much valid on that, because we've not really seen it much before. But yeah, I think predictive wise, projecting them to do it, I'm looking forward to it.
I think that's more of a consequence of the fact that the Chiefs are going to be passing the ball a lot and teams will be defending the pass against. It's much easier to run the ball when the defense is expecting pass. If the defensive linemen are playing to rush the quarterback as opposed to playing gaps, then it's much easier for the offensive lineman to move them off their spot, create holes for running backs to go through. And that's where the offensive line, the Chiefs offensive line, will have such an advantage, because everyone is going to be scared, put the bleep in if you need to, of facing Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That they're going to be on their heels. Like their first step, that the defensive players are going to take when playing Patrick Mahomes. They're never stepping forward. They're not walking in. They're not playing cricket. They're not a cricket field. They're always rocking on their heels. They're always moving backwards because they are expecting pass. And that has to help the offensive line when it comes to moving guys, because they know that they've already got them exactly where they want. And so the likes of Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith can double-team guys inside and then move up a level. And that instantly makes it easier for running backs. And obviously, when you've got running backs who are going to be getting, what, 5, 6, 7 yards a carry because of how good the pass game is and how good, like, the big wide receivers are going to be in the running game as well, then obviously that is going to project to an offensive line ranking very high. Will they have the same amount of volume as the other top ranking units? Probably not. But when they do throw run, or when they do show run rather, they're going to rank really high on a play-to-play sort of basis.
Yeah. All right. The other Arrow headline that I've seen is apparently it has been suggested that Travis Kelce needs to do a little more to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Say what?
I mean, a little more. What else can he do?
Like, just find an appropriate meme or whatever to put over this. It's like, I don't. Yeah.
I mean,
Instagram versus reality or something like that. I don't know what to put in. Like, I genuinely don't. Like, the fact that you almost positioned that as a report is offensive enough, but that article was just car crash. Like, I think they ranked. Zad Misharm, wasn't it? He ranked Russell Wilson as a lock for the Hall of Fame, but not Travis Kelce or Julio Jones.
Wow.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. And Travis Kelce, he's in. I like the fact that when the tweet went out for headlines, the first response to it was ESPN's Dan Orlovsky. And it just went, all he tweeted back was, he's in. He's in. Shut up, NFL.com. You're old.
I don't know what else they're trying to suggest that Travis Kelce could do to cement his place in the Hall of Fame. Because,
well, yeah, I tell you what, there's the question. What else does he need to do?
Even if retired now, he'd still be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely. He'd be a first ballot right now. If he retired now, he'd be first ballot.
Exactly. But
what else is you come up with a suggestion of what he needs to do?
I don't know. Carry Patrick Mahomes' bags to training camp. I don't know. What else? What else does he have to do? I mean, I can't think of anything at all at the moment. I mean, the numbers are right. I mean, they're right. They're well up there. I mean, he's breaking records left, right, and center. He's had multiple 1,000-yard seasons. What is it now?
Yeah. Six.
Six or something he's had now.
And he's going to get seven.
Yeah. He's still in what we would consider a prime of his career. He's still got the quarterback that he's been just exceptional with. But he's also been exceptional with Alex Smith.
Yeah. And he's an amazing dancer.
Oh, yeah. He's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, putting him in the hall for that alone is...
Yeah.
You know, he's dancing. Okay.
Maybe he needs to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as opposed to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
But let's get him in that as well. Put him in all Hall of Fames. Why not? Let's do it.
Every single one. Baseball Hall of Fame, Premier League Hall of Fame. Just stick Travis Kelce in all of them. If Adam Schein's not going to put him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, we'll put him in the Arrowhead Pride Hall of Fame.
That's the one that matters, is it?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. He can go next to our Emmys.
Yeah. just put him in the glass cabinet.
Yeah, there we go. Just nonsense, crazy talk, really was.
Now, keeping in the theme of the Hall of Fame, Dick Vermeil has been enshrined in the Hall of Fame. Now, I mean, you know, this is huge. Congratulations to Dick. He's been a phenomenal coach in the NFL, but he was well loved at Chiefs Kingdom as well. And it seems as though that kind of love was also reciprocated as well, because Dick Vermeil actually mentioned it in his Hall of Fame speech. He was thanking Lamar, Norma, Andy Reid, just anybody and everybody you could think of. You know, Andy and Tammy, he mentioned as well. He was full of praise of the Chiefs organization and obviously, you know, the people he's worked with there. And I thought that was a nice touching kind of tribute that he paid there. But Chiefs Kingdom.
Sounds like you're going to cry, mate.
Yeah. I, you know what? When I watched it, I thought, oh, fair play to him. You know, he didn't have to go really into depth about, you know, his time at the Chiefs. I mean, yeah, it was obviously, a key moment in his career. But, you know, Chiefs Kingdom loved him.
There's a lost ring.
He is.
He knows it.
He does.
He knows it. There's a lost ring there. Yeah. He knows it. He knows that he had the team between 2001, 2005 to win the Super Bowl. The problem was that he just didn't build a defense in any way, shape, or form. Like I love the Dick Vermeil Chiefs years. That's when I first got into the Chiefs. Was right smack bang in the middle of that.
So he's your coach, is he?
Yeah. So he's my first coach. He was your Romeo Crennel and my Romeo Crennel for you. And
Romeo Crennel. Is he going in the hole?
I've got so much time for Dick Vermeil, and the offense at that time was just outrageous. Trent Green, obviously that offensive line. We've talked about the current offensive line, but nothing compares to that offensive line. Priest Holmes, and then obviously Tony.
It's criminal,
G.
that team.
That team was just so unbelievably loaded. And they talk about teams like the Vikings in the 98, 99 season. And there's like obviously the Bills from the early 90s, teams that should have gone on to win the Super Bowl that didn't. And I don't think enough people talk about that Chiefs team from that particular era, Dick Vermeil's era, maybe because the defense was just so bad. Like in those years, it was so bad that everyone knew that they didn't really stand a chance. But it didn't make it any less fun. It was so much fun to watch. This outstanding offensive line just destroy people, and Priest Holmes run behind it was an absolute pleasure. And it's not like he went ringless anyway. He obviously won one with St. Louis as well. So, Well done, coach, from getting into the Hall of Fame. And I can't wait for Travis Kelce to join you one day, as long as I haven't tried my house.
Very much appreciated, I think, as well. And it was a nice little nod to the Chiefs organization, which is, full credit to them for that as well. Just touching quickly on another report or another, I actually saw the video of this as well, which was funny. Justin Reed kicking a 65-yard field goal in training. Now, I had to look at this again. I had to really kind of double take this, because I thought, got Justin Reed taking the kick. He walloped that thing, didn't he?
65 yards.
Yeah.
Mate, that's impressive.
Isn't it?
Like, Justin Tucker kicked the record. And Justin Tucker got paid, what, $24 million this week? And he kicked the record last year. What, 66 yards in a game? Now, obviously, it's a bit different. It's in a stadium. It's in a game wearing pads, helmet, balls being snapped. Like, I'm very well aware that the conditions that Justin Reed kicked his field goal in were completely different to what a normal NFL quarterback had to deal with. But nonetheless, 65 yards is a hell of a leg,
isn't it?
I've always been brought up to believe that Americans can't kick properly, and there are a few select aliens that can kick balls properly, and they often become NFL kickers, where Justin Reed, who's like, what, a defensive back?
Yeah.
No, it turns out he just has like an absolute cannon of a leg, and for him to be able to hit 65 yarder, like, fair play, as you once said. that was a hell of a kick, and I know what it's like to be that kind of guy, to have to make a kick in a high pressure situation. I've done it once before.
Here we go.
I made a kick like that once, a field goal like that in front of a crowd of people. That was at the Super Bowl experience in Miami. Yes.
Oh, was it?
A crowd full of people. Yeah. Okay, granted, mine was like 40, 45 yards. It wasn't as long, but I was wearing DC skate shoes. So, you know, it makes it a little bit more impressive. But yeah, Justin Reed, whenever I'm in town, if you want to go out, kick some field goals, then let's go for it. We can have a little competition.
Call me. No, I mean, just going on what you were saying about the kicking at the Super Bowl experience that we were at in Miami. It's true what you're saying about Americans can't kick, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's true what you say, because we were looking around and we were looking at the ones before us and we were like, you know, it wasn't even, you know, they were trying to toe punt it and all sorts. They just weren't getting it. And we were like limbering up, ready for kick our field goals. And I must admit, when I looked to my left and they had the throw-in section where they're throwing passes and they had the nets and they had like literally like six-year-old kids throwing darts.
Yeah,
40-yard, 50-yard darts into these nets. I was like, all right, fair play. They can throw. They might not be able to kick, but they can definitely throw.
That's absolutely. We chose our game wisely there. We chose our ground battlegrounds wisely. We're like, right, as Englishmen, we definitely go to the kicking part of it. We go to the kicking side of it and let the Americans throw and catch.
I mean, you've got a decent arm. I've seen you play in flag football. You've got a decent arm, but these kids, I'm sorry, mate, these six-year-old kids were throwing darts. They were throwing lasers, these kids. I was thinking, God. I'm not even going anywhere near those nets. No chance.
Well, if American football ever becomes big over here and it's a level where it gets played professionally, every American should be moving their kid over to England just because they've become a superstar overnight.
Oh, without a doubt. They'd be like, sign that kid up. Get him.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. But no, I mean, it's nice to round off that, I think, with a nice feel-good story from Justin Reid, kicking that 65-yard field goal. Absolutely, really impressive. I had to watch it a few times. It was that good. But does that mean Harrison Butker now has somebody, you know, over his shoulder, do you think?
You say that, like, it's a good thing to have. So if you've got you're ever in a position, you know, you're not going to carry a backup kicker in the game. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But now the Chiefs know that they've got a guy, Justin Reid, who's going to be at least, you'd think, good for extra points, even though I think everyone in the world should be able to kick an extra point field goal because it's just not that far. But, you know, but the fact that the Chiefs have now a player on the team that can kick an extra point if it was ever required, then, yeah, it's a good backup to have for sure.
Right. Before we end the show, I just wanted to send out a heartfelt tribute to one of my good friends of Chiefs Kingdom who, sadly passed away on Friday morning. Michael Ford used to watch my Brit Chief YouTube channel, believe it or not. Used to watch it religiously for many years, watching me doing some ramblings on YouTube. And we often chatted about anything and everything Chiefs over social media. And Michael and his daughter, Dawn, actually sent me a huge box load of Chiefs items from across the pond, which were to be placed in my man cave and items that I never even knew existed. So we developed a really good friendship, and their friendship is very much cherished to this day. When Dawn contacted me in the early hours of Friday morning to say that Michael, her dad, had sadly passed away, my heart felt heavy. Michael and his wonderful family have been in my thoughts all week, and I just wanted to let them know basically that Michael will always be remembered for his kindness and generosity, and I'll definitely miss his chats. So thank you, Michael. Chiefs Kingdom has definitely lost a good man there. Right, that's all we've got time for this week. Your boys from the Kingdom will return next Wednesday to give our thoughts on the Chiefs versus the Bears.
Episode 50, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? We're going to have to do something for that.
Yeah, maybe we can drown our sorrows when the Chiefs lose 2017 to the Bears.
Don't even start. I'm going big. I'm going heavy. 48-3. Let's do it. Stick around on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network for more Chiefs content. And of course, keep up to date with everything Chiefs at arrowheadpride.com. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.